From the heart of the earth to the world, RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Poprad with the two stalwarts, because the lazy git sleeping. That means Rachel's here and Eric's here, aren't we, Rachel? Rachel!
Yes, we are here. I'm hanging on for dear life. In the middle of a hotel, hoping the broadband does not die on me.
So do I. Otherwise, you'll have to get me for the rest of the programme, everybody. Anyway, I don't need a TV licence, says the Brits. They do. Officials have exposed some of the excuses people are giving for not having a television licence. And I think they are wonderful. One thought she was exempt because her pet corgi was said to be related to one of the Queen's dogs. I don't need a TV licence. My dog knows the Queen's dog. Another household claimed they merely used the glow from the set as a lamp to help them read. Oh, dear.
That's genius.
It is clever, isn't it? It is kind of clever. But I can't remember what it was, but several years ago on a former radio show, which sounds a bit bizarre, but it did work, we actually had the TV licensing detector people there to sort of do a do's and don'ts about television licensing. And they actually brought a truck with them, which was really nice for a techie bloke like Eric to sit inside it. The funny thing was, the building that we were in, we suddenly found out it hadn't got a TV licence.
There was a few
oopsie red faces, but there was time given to get one. More than 4,000 people were caught last year watching TV without a valid licence, which is more than 1,000 a day. Blinking heck, I didn't know it was that bad.
Amazing. This whole thing seems very strange to me. We don't have TV licences in this country.
Don't you?
And the first thing I ever knew about... No, but the first thing I ever knew about the UK having them was watching The Young Ones and the episode where Vivian eats the telly to hide the telly from the licensing man. And I remember asking an adult, because I was only about 15 at the time, what is all this? And nobody seemed to understand or know. And then I met somebody who was from England and they explained the whole thing to me and I thought, that's wrong. We get all our telly for nothing.
Well, no, they've got a great system for it. There is a TV licence in Slovakia, but you don't have one.
Ooh.
You don't have one.
Oh.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, hang on. And I love it. It is so logical. What powers a television? Electricity. So what do? They tag it into your electricity bill. So if you want
I guess that's what they must do here.
I don't know. But that's how they do it anyway. But if you have more than one telly, you are supposed to have an additional licence in a business premise. But there you go.
Goodness.
One of the things, I know lots of guys listen to radio with sight impaired vision. And don't forget, guys, if you are certified blind or severely sight impaired, you are entitled to a £50 reduction in the fee, or get one of those boxes that actually is a television but only has a speaker on it. And that's even more helpful. Those in care home residents may qualify for a discounted fee of £7.50. But if it's in a public area where, you know, your family goes or the staff goes, that needs a separate licence, which is the full rate again. And senior citizens over the age of 75 are also allowed a free television licence in the UK.
Oh, so they should. Goodness.
I know.
You know. Come on. What pleasures do we have at 75?
Well, maybe we're coming on to that in a minute. I love this one. Yes, what a brick this
place. Me too. I love this one.
No, I'm coming on to the story. No, that's going to come out wrong in a minute. It's still doing it. a couple returned from celebrating their silver wedding anniversary to find their front doorway bricked up. And it was bricked up. Somebody had built a brick wall of breeze blocks around their front door so they couldn't... Well, they did. It was easy enough to push it over, apparently. Which is the same stunt that the same people did on their original honeymoon 25 years earlier. Which I think's
think that's romantic.
I think that's lovely.
It's beautiful.
Where's the door gone? And then you'd be then you'd be looking inside for the cling film over the toilet seat, wouldn't you?
Yes, and all those nasty things like what do we do here? We put Vegemite on the inside of the door handle.
Oh, that's all right, because you can lick your fingers.
Well, I do. I just wipe it on the bread.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but I think you know the cling film over the toilet is a bit different.
That's a bit different, and the salt in the sugar bowl.
Oh, I've had that. It's horrible.
That's nasty.
It's not nice. Is
really
it?
Awful. No, it's not cruel. Nice. You that's don't cruel. Like the person you do that to. That's not a. That's not a. Oh, look, I played a trick on you. That's a secretly loathe you.
Yes, that is really horrible, I think, more than anything else. But anyway, the first prank happened at the couple's former home while they were on honeymoon in Crete. And Mr. Darling, cousin of Mr. Williams, who was on his second honeymoon, three or four were sitting in the pub the night before they got back, and someone came up with the idea that we'd have something to surprise them. I can't remember who came up with the idea of the brick, said Mr. Darling, but we thought it was a good idea, seeing as it had been done before. There was only one door in the house. But they did take it in good spirits.
And I'm glad. That would have gone an epic fail, yeah, had would, they not.
Yes. I could just imagine someone doing that to you.
I think that's romantic.
Do you?
Yeah, I think it's romantic that they replicated the occasion exactly as it occurred all those years ago.
Therefore,
it's very thoughtful.
Okay, for any of Rachel's friends listening, when you do this, when Rob and Rachel eventually get married and she threatens to kill you, just remind her of that comment from the radio. It's romantic.
Replay the podcast to me.
Yeah.
And I'll say, I didn't say that. The broadband was sketchy and yeah, it didn't right. come out right.
Yes. Gottfried Valk, co-founder of the Pirate Bay, has been sentenced to 2 years in Sweden for hacking into a bank's computer. If you want to do that, pal, it's your problem. Has the Pirate Bay been a big issue down your way? Or is it that guy called... What's it? He changed his name by deed poll in New Zealand to .com.
Yeah, he's a pillock. He and Julian Assange are just a blight on this part of the world. Mm. but no, we haven't. I don't know that we've had too much trouble with Pirate Bay in our part of the world. I don't know that we have.
No, I don't. Never mind. Anyway, apparently. There's all sorts of people after all sorts of people. It will never get finished because the bottom line is there's only one way to cure the problem. And mm-hmm. it's quite a sensible way, actually. I'll tell you, and I'm not terribly pro Mr. Murdoch and his groups of people. No surprises there. But I have to say, they came up with a very valid and easy solution to the problem. They made their television subscription cards... A, very, very secure, but B, to a price where people kind of like went, yes, okay. Yeah, okay, I can pay, right. I'll pay that. Whereas when it first came out, it was very, very expensive, and people used mm-hmm. to make pirate cards. And have I told you the story about the handicapped lad? I was a bad person, Rach. I was really, really bad, Rach.
No.
Yes.
I don't believe it.
I was really bad on live on air.
Uh-oh, that I believe. Go on.
So young lad phones in. We're having a program on piracy in the very early days of satellite in Great Britain. And this young lad phones up and he's very, very nervous. And he said, I'd like to tell a story about piracy that went really wrong. So I said, okay. Uh-huh. So we get him on and we have a little chat. We have a sort of like find out who you are. And this young lad is, I think, quadriplegic. He's certainly in a wheelchair and can do nothing for himself. But he wants to. He wants to do uh-huh. something to make his own little way in the life. And, you know, I applaud that. So what he does.
Yeah, absolutely.
What he does is he borrows some money from the family, gets the family to drive him to Germany to buy some Pirate Sky viewing cards. He then drives all the way back from Germany, gives the cards over because he gets them at trade price because he bought them for lots and lots of people, so he got a discount. And he pocketed the money as profit and a bit feel-good factor in it. 7 days later, all the cards die.
Oh.
He then, at that point, says, we've now got my family are taking me back to Germany in the car because we've tried telephoning the people and they're not answering the phone. I then go to a commercial break. The guy has started crying. So I make him...
Oh, no.
Yeah. My producer's screaming bad words at me in my ear, saying, end it, end it. And I'm going, no, yep. No, no, this is good radio. No, no. So lad waits 3 minutes through the ad break, come back on. He's still blubbering a bit. And I said, so what happened next? And he goes, when we got there was nobody there. They'd all gone. And he's really getting upset.
The building was foreclosed or something. Oh, no.
Right.
Poor love.
This is all going...
And you're loving this.
Yes. This is great. This is great talk radio. So anyway, he finishes off by saying, and I don't want anybody... I said, look, tell you what. I'll make a deal with you. I will admonish you if it is that you will go public now and say to people, you should never buy a pirate product like that. To which he managed to get it out amongst the tears. And so we admonished him and let him go. After the show, my producer came in. He said, you bleep, 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 person of suspect parentage, bleep, 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 suspect. It's good. But it was good, though, Eric.
that was wonderful. Don't ever do it again.
Yeah.
But it was great.
Anyway.
It was
the ice sheep eating, I mean, the sheep eating plant about to bloom in Surrey. I couldn't resist it. Apparently, there's a South African. I mean, what idiot would ever do this? Somebody from the National Botanic Gardens has bought a South American plant into the UK. It stands about 10 foot tall and it's got a sort of a flower spike, which is about to bloom in Surrey in a glasshouse for the first time in 15 years. Now, what this thing does is it uses sharp spines to, you know, to snare and trap sheep and any other animal it's unlucky enough to, which slowly starve to death. It's a lovely plant, this. And as the animals decay,
it's very friendly.
Yeah, the base of the plant, it acts as fertilizer and feeds the plant. And they've gone a blinking bought one from South America and stuck it in England. What happens if spores of it... it's like Day of the Triffids all over again, isn't it?
Exactly what I was thinking, actually. I had this image in my head of these things, sort of, you know, the spores get into the air and fly across the entire United Kingdom,
yeah.
And all of a sudden the residents are fleeing from their homes or, you know, can't get out, they can't open their front door for the plants banging on it.
Yeah.
Feed me!
Feed me! And Cara Smith, who's a horticultural, says, I'm really pleased that we finally coaxed our poya, whatever it's called, into flower. Why? What are you going to do, feed it sheep now?
Wake it up! Poke it. Don't waken it. Don't anger it.
No, for goodness sake. Chop its head off or something like that. Yeah. Anyway, George Osborne's obviously a very well-known politician. As at the G8 summit this week, President Obama did a presidential gaffe, as George used to do a lot, and he insisted on calling George Osborne Jeffrey.
I love that.
Jeffrey. This is bungled.
It's hilarious. It's hilarious. I think it was written in his notes. He didn't have a clue who this fellow was. And somebody's written it in there incorrectly.
Well, apparently,
he just kept saying it.
Well, apparently Obama got him confused with his very famous favourite R&B singer, who is Jeffrey Osborne. And he's he's well known as a singer. So Mr. Obama continued to call George Jeffrey. But I have to say, on the news of that morning at the G8, George, you did look like a Jeffrey. He was it was definitely Jeffrey written all over your forehead, young man, at the time that you were on the telly. I can understand why he did it. King,
G8. You gotta love the G8, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Kim Jong Un.
Kim Jong Un.
He's got really upset. He's got so upset. Don't forget, he's a dictator. Because although it's communism, he's really a dictator. He's now complaining because he has been likened to a dictator. And North Korea...
Well, I wonder why I'm scratching my head.
Yes. Careful, the splinters will come out.
Am I kidding?
North Korea's threat to kill what they describe as human scum, responsible for an article that claimed its leader handed out copies of Hitler's autobiography for his birthday, which wouldn't surprise me in the slightest.
No. This is a how-to manual.
Yes. I didn't say that. Complaints to Rachel.
I said it to me.
Yeah. I mean, they have got so upset about it, they're actually seriously looking to kill these guys, and they describe them as sordid human scum, will never be able to look up the sky nor be able to find an inch of land to be buried after their death.
Oh, that's some pretty harsh words.
Yeah, but...
And I love how they're thrice cursed.
The thrice cursed, now. Yeah.
Yes, I'm like, you know, not just once, twice, but thrice. You know what? If you don't want to be called Hitler, don't disseminate Mein Kampf to everybody and go, you must read this.
Well,
find out how we can learn from it.
Yeah, but there,
you fool.
You've just given me another idea, Rach. If he doesn't want to be likened to a dictator, what he should do is have open elections, let anybody stand from anywhere in the world, and then stand down as a dictator, then he won't get told he's a dictator.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. That's outrageous, Eric. Outrageous.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
He's got family traditions to uphold, by goodness. And yes. A really mean uncle who's apparently really pulling the strings anyway.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
so whatever.
Yeah. Well, apparently Rhiannon's thrown a hissy fit as well this week.
I saw the footage. Did you see it?
I did. She was most angry. But you know what? I'm thinking, how long has she been on the worldwide stage now? About 6 years?
Yes.
Seems like forever.
In sharp focus, it does seem like eternity.
Yeah.
But in sharp focus, I'd say probably about 6 years.
Yeah, and I should drag out some little bits of an interview that she did for us on RTI.
Yep.
She was so meek and mild, so gentle. None of this, I want me candy bars in my dressing room, and they've got to be pink with white dots on them. None of this malarkey.
Yeah.
She was just nice. And actually,
yes.
Very nice, to be honest. But now...
I remember her being interviewed way back when, and she did really seem lovely. She's got that lovely, relaxed Caribbean disposition about her.
Yeah.
And she seems like she was just really mellow and just really into her music, but shows you what a good beating will do.
Well, that plus several million dollars in the bank.
Yes, but I think it's really appalling that after such a kerfuffle and her being violently abused by Chris Brown, she's now reconciled with said scumbag, but that she herself has now used violence as a method to solve a very small and minor problem. Bludgeoning some poor punter at her concert because they held her hand a little bit too long. Don't walk into the crowd. She's going to start beating people with a microphone.
Well, no, and the other thing that rock stars do, and then they moan about it, is they always wander along with their hand open and slap everybody's high-five hands anyway. So it's your own fault.
Exactly. What do you think's going to happen when an overzealous fan looks at your flesh? They're going to grab onto it.
Yes, but she added on that stupid thing that's gone on Facebook, Instagram, that B... person of suspect parentage, won't let me go. Well, of course not. He's just got into the touching of his icon of the world.
Exactly. He's probably beside himself and his brain's exploded.
Yes. Well, never mind. Anyway, let's stay down. Let's go back down to the Antipodean area again. I even said that without stuttering. That's not bad. As Google has unveiled plans to provide the internet to billions who cannot currently access the web. So they've put a balloon up, boys and girls, to send the internet down to places where there's no computers.
Yes, the far reaches.
Yes. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, and this is not an offensive, rude comment. If people are living in a mud hut in the middle of Africa with no electricity, what is the point of launching a balloon that will send them the internet? Are they going to have big wires attached to it? I don't think so.
Well, exactly. And, it's not like a tourist place.
Mm-mm.
So, you know, the middle of the Sahara, let's say. Not many tourists really go there. Mm-hmm. It just seems a bit of a waste of time to me.
Well, apparently,
and penguins, for example, don't use the internet.
No.
I know penguins are really clever, but they don't use the internet, I'm pretty sure.
You remember the advert, pick up a penguin? No, you don't remember.
No.
No.
But it sounds like hilarious.
It was. Apparently, scientists launched a trial on last week in New Zealand, on the South Island, letting off a string of jellyfish-shaped balloons in the skies above Lake... How do you say that? Te Kapu? Right, fair enough.
I'm not even going to attempt it.
Yeah,
Te Kapu,
that'll do. And, you know, the idea was to have these balloons up and send the internet down to places. Well, why did you pick the South Island of New Zealand to do it, where there is electricity, computers and power and people that know how to use the net? You should have tested it over the middle of Africa, where there's nobody, and then you'd have found out what was really going on. I mean, how stupid can
you get? All's
going
to happen, all will happen here, is that there's going to be a whole lot of calls to a UFO hotline.
Absolutely. talking of the crazies when the celebrities get involved, several people have been injured after fans of David Beckham charged forward to catch a glimpse of the football star.
Bex has done it. Bex has caused a stampede.
Yes, that's got to be on your telly down your way.
Yes, indeed it has. Been on our telly straight away, especially when people are hospitalised. So, fandemonium has broken out.
Fandemonium, I like that.
I think it's really quite sad and dangerous, and I don't like these stories.
No.
But they happen in places where they don't make, they don't have proper measures in place for this kind of thing to happen, when people don't normally go off their brains.
Yeah.
Or they don't, you know, they just don't, I don't think that was, that it mustn't have been policed properly.
No, I don't think so either. Well, this is one for you and Lee. Next. Because you two are the arty-farty ones. You like your
art. That's true.
You like your art and your paintings and your books and all the rest of it.
We do.
Mr. Charles Saatchi, who's well known for being a sponsor and whatever else you call it, of the arts, is a yob.
He is a yob. He's an advertising yob. And
yes.
He's a grubby man. He's a grubby, grubby old man.
Yes, he was caught on camera with his hand around the throat of his estranged wife, Nigella Lawson. She's the daughter
she's
of the...
beautiful.
She is, actually. I don't, I hate her. I just hate...
Does she make you eat?
It's not that, because she does all that lovely cooking, and if I was to eat it, I'd be even bigger than I am, and she looks all, well, apart from the fact she's got German assets.
Yes,
she's got, as the television says...
Life preservers.
Yes, she's got life preservers, or as they would say on Ella Ella, the TV series... Grow some boobies.
They continue while I chortle.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, you've got this guy who's portrayed, you know, as an advertising guru, a lover of the arts, and he's no more than a street corner yob. And that's what you are,
an animal.
An animal. Police have confirmed that they've not received a complaint or of assault from Nigella's people or anybody else, but did confirm that she isn't at the family home anymore, and I don't blame her after that.
Her 19-year-old son from her previous marriage to that lovely man who died of cancer, he came around and was seen putting many of her belongings into a car and going off.
Good. This is one up to people power, actually, next, because Microsoft has responded to the worldwide criticism of plans to restrict its Xbox One users to sharing of games. And basically, you had to be online all the time to do this in the first announcement. But there's been such a huge outcry from the public around the world that Microsoft have done a U-turn and said you only have to be online when you do the thing once, the game once, and then you can play it as much as you like without going online again. So well done to people power. I like that.
Yes, because you know what? In countries like mine, the internet is still really expensive and you use it quite frugally, unless you're me, which case you just do what you want.
Yeah.
But
it's only because somebody else is paying. It's only because Rob's paying the bill.
That's correct.
Yes.
And, but if you've got kids, for example, like if you've got kids who play Xbox or they're a teenager and they're buying their own internet, they're buying their own broadband on a prepaid situation, they're going to chew through that data in no time.
Exactly.
And it's going to cost them heaps. So I'm really pleased about this. And good on you, Xbox and Microsoft.
For seeing reason. We'll cram in a couple of more stories as we've got about 90 seconds to go. One of the things from Star Trek, do you remember on the Star Trek thing, there used to be a tricorder that Bones, Dr. McCoy, used to use, flip the lid up, and he would take readings of somebody's body. Well, apparently, there's a group at the University of Glasgow School of Engineering. They've got themselves a £3.4 million grant, and they reckon they're going to build a tricorder to diagnose a host of conditions from a handheld device. If that comes off, brilliant. Apple have unveiled news content for their new TV series. It's Apple, we're bored already. The rain machine cometh. Helicopters have been used to inject
That's awesome.
Chemicals into clouds above Sumatra to try to put out raging fires on the island. I have to say, Indonesia, that is not new, because some of the guys from Top Gear, namely James, did that a couple of years ago. He went up into the clouds, they poured this stuff into the atmosphere on a little light plane, and sure enough, it snowed down on the ground in the middle of summer. Marvellous. And
awesome.
Yeah, exactly. And one for Lee. Finally, the cost of Viagra could be dropping dramatically from this week as the patents for the drug expire. Apparently there was 1.28 million Viagra prescriptions dispensed in the UK last year. That's probably 1.2 million down to Lee. But the cost of it is coming home. And very quickly, finally, in Australia, and yet another one, a seven-year-old was caught driving a car as the man was drunk driving home. He has been arrested. Time to say goodbye, Rachel.
Goodbye, Rachel.
Goodbye, Eric. See you soon. Bye-bye.
The Station of the Stars. RTI.